I'd like to thank you all for coming here today. You all know me. I am Don Lindon of Ask Lindon and Three Blind Mice. I'd like to make you an offer you can't refuse. Please consider subscribing to
Dicks and Janes,
the podcast of my good friend,
the Scarborough Dude,
and making a substantial financial contribution toward the smooth running of the show and the acquisition of a suitable family villa in Sicily. In return, I will try and answer any questions you may have, and also I pledge to protect your families from the Santini boys.
Ask Lindon!
Okay, producer, I'd like you to insert something here. Oops, sorry. Damn, shut up. To indicate a smooth transition, to show that perhaps I'm no longer where I last was. In fact, I know I'm not. I'm somewhere else. I'm sitting at the foot of a monument, and it says, quite simply, "Here died Wolf, September 13th, 1759. I think I'll tell you no further. I think any regular listener to this podcast, somebody who's listened to all the shows, would know, of course, who I was referring to, as would any self-respecting Canadian. And not only that, exactly where I am. So that's it. There's your clue. Here died Wolf, September 13th, 1759. Yeah. Well, we all know it's Quebec City, of course. And it's great to be here. My 15th time, 15th summer out of 16 years. That's just great. Only missed SARS, and you know how bad that was for me. Damn, sorry about the static. I was sort of guided here, our guide today, this morning. Now, I don't know if I mentioned, but we had a guide in Ottawa who was so bad, we had to be kind because we were afraid she was just going to have a nervous breakdown right there and then on the bus and start crying. So we couldn't really do anything. We had to just sort of go along with it. But that was as bad as they come, the guide we had today in Quebec City, and a guide who I've had once before. In fact, a former producer for CBC, a dancer of 20 years in the United States, Brian, was just excellent with the students, and it really, really made Quebec interesting. And the history is just, you know, it's got to come from someone who loves the city, the place they're guiding you through. And if you don't have that love and passion, you can't do the job. And I've never seen in my life such an extreme between the very high-end, best you could hope for guide here in Quebec City, and the low-end, worst, your worst nightmare guide in Ottawa. It's ridiculous. Oh, well, what's the lesson there? Geez, do something you're passionate about, right? I think all the big people say that. Your C.C. Chapmans, your Mitch Joels, your... I don't know, Harvey Langster. It's, you know, important. Believe in what you're doing. I do. I believe in what I'm doing. That's why I'm sitting here like a nutcase at the foot of this monument with, in the middle of a traffic circle, talking into a mic. Hey, maybe those people think I'm somebody important doing a report on Wolf. No, I'm not. And I could not be in a more conspicuous spot. However, far away from the teachers and students, on my free time, it's 12:15 on Saturday, August 9th. Yesterday was 8:88. In fact, the first thing I came to, the first monument I came to, was a German cannon captured August 8th, 1918. Coincidence? You tell me. Anyway, I'm going to go for a little walk. I'm going to get a bite to lunch. We're going to L'Ancien Canadien tonight for supper, 5 o'clock. That's an early one. All the girls dress up in pretty dresses, and it's a very special occasion. We make a big deal out of it, you know. This is the one night you might consider dressing up. I bring out a tie and a jacket, and it's nice. And then we got free time from the end of supper, 7:30, quarter to 8, until about 9, to wander the streets up by the Champlain's Monument, of course, and just explore the promenade, the Rue du Trésor, the local areas. If you haven't been to Quebec, folks, come to Quebec, because you're idiot if you've got places to travel in North America and it's not on your list. Okay, listen, I better go. I've been babbling away and, damn, I'm sorry. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Me again. In a, I'm going to say frightful state. And that would be entirely the wrong description to use. So think of, try if you can to think of the opposite of a frightful state. What? Feeling comfortable? Safe? Free? All of the above? I believe so. I am doing what I am very fond of doing and have been all my life, ever since my good friends Cliff and Mike taught me photography in 1967 and encouraged me to buy my first Leica camera, which I still have today, a 1938 Model 3B, which I haven't used for 25 years or more. But I still have it and treasure it because those gentlemen taught me the art of seeing, showed me the books of Henri Cartier-Bresson, showed me Joseph Karsh, and guided me around Montreal looking at things, and then kindly printed my picture so I would go into the dark room, if you can imagine, at Mike's house. Mike, who I met the weekend of the first Montreal podcasting, if you know that one, a little bit of history there. Boy, that's a talk about sneaking in on a good one. Anyway, Mike would get me down in the basement, put the film, all a mystery to me, of course, into the canister, develop my negatives, Tri-X, which he could boost to 800. Ian Cliff used to talk about how fast could you get good results from Tri-X, you know. Means nothing to you, I'm sure. Maybe somebody out there might know what I'm talking about. Kodachrome 64 and Plus X, which you never used, are the best for the finest grain, the deepest darks. What was it, that Kodak film? The film speed was only 32, very, very slow. But, and Plus X, 125, yeah. Anyway, just a flood of nostalgia. As I walked down this street I've never walked down before, the reason I went down, number one, I had to go and see Wolf's Monument. Number two, I had to find out where the grocery store was that I could buy good local Quebec beer at to keep my teachers happy, because one of my teachers in particular is very fond of beer and likes to try different ones, and had me out late again last night. I was ready to hit the hay early. I'm getting old for this, man. And here they are. No, I think maybe we should have just one more, which we did. So I am now at Avenue de Burlamaque. Burlamaque, where Cousin Zeke grew up, interesting enough, and on Boulevard René Lévesque. So let's take this. There's a building. I want to see what it is just up ahead, and then we'll nip a little further south. I'd hope to eventually get to the graveyard I've taken you to before. Holy moly, big bus. And carry on and enjoy the rest of the day. I've got another, as I say, 4 hours. And that's good. Before we have to meet. And that will be fine, too. This is more where the people who live in Quebec actually live. Bit noisy. Perhaps we'll shut it down right now, okay, while we, till we get to a quieter spot. All right? How about that? Okay. Here's one I can't figure out. Standing across from a bus called Beatles Boulevard. Oh, and it's got the Beach Boys. Maybe it's just a patat stand. That could be it. I thought it maybe was a tour or something. I think it's a patat stand. Hard to say. Walk up the dream machine. Smash it. Ooh, I like it. Elvis. Wow. You wouldn't believe what I'm looking at. Well, it's a 1960. It's a bus with the names of all the bands painted all over it. can't figure out. And inside Elvis memorabilia, Woodstock posters. Maybe I can ask the guy, should I? Do I dare? Bonjour, hello? It's okay. What is this?
Rock and roll.
Yeah? It's yours? Your dream? That's a good message. Your home? Right. Est-ce possible de prendre une photo?
Oui, oui.
Merci, monsieur. Really? This is too much. Better get this one. That's good. Merci. Hello. It's okay? For my friends? I'm gonna stop. Guitar. It's nice. It's like a drum. Wow. It's far out. Wow. Oh, John Lennon. Je m'appelle Ken, je suis né à Montréal, mais maintenant je demeure à Toronto.
Ah, moi aussi, je suis du Jonquin, à Saguenay.
Jonquin? J'ai vu les Beatles à 65 à Montréal, Forum Montréal.
Ouais.
Beatlemania.
Tu veux m'incarner?
Je suis ici avec les étudiants de japonaise. Je suis une guide. Mais j'aime Québec, la ville de Québec. C'est très, très beau, très intéressant.
Ouais.
Vous demeurez ici? Ou?
Saguenay.
Saguenay.
Saguenay. Ah, tu veux, je parle de McCartney. Plaine d'Abraham. McCartney.
Gagné. Non. J'étais à Toronto. Ah. Tu veux, tu sais?
50
c'était bon?
Bien
avant. Oui. Le Prince d'Abraham. Hein? Wow. It's an incredible bus, guys. This is a trip. Good. Celia Paul's thing. C'était un plaisir to meet you. And peace. Je suis né à 48 Montréal. Et vous?
Jean-Guy.
Jean-Guy, et le. Quel âge? Oui, quel âge toi et maintenant?
56.
Je vois 60. J'étais. Quand j'étais à l'université, this is good. Paul McCartney, eh? Wings.
C'est le concert sur les plaines d'Abraham.
C'est vrai? Ah, ça, c'est...
So I'm getting to hear McCartney's concert. Wow. That's like meeting up with the King Kesey's magic bus. It was quite a trip. I apologize if I include whatever it was that's on here, and you heard me murdering French because I just don't know any. It's too bad. But goddamn, was that ever interesting. Oh, I'm just going to sit here. You know, folks, listen to me a minute, will you? Hang on, we'll see if this baby's recording, because I think I'm about to give now the only sermon I really got. And that is, be adventurous, for fuck's sake. Don't wait till the next time. Don't be timid. If something bites you, it bites you. You learn a lesson. But don't live wishing you had done something or you missed that opportunity. I mean, we do. I still do. You got to push yourself all the time. You can't slide into complacency or just get into a rut and a routine. Like, I see this bus across the way, and I don't know, you know? One voice is saying, oh, it's some fucking tourist thing, you know, ripping people off, and I got this negative perception. And the other voice saying, how do you know, man? Go and fucking look. I get in there, and there's a white-haired old hippie sitting out this far-out dashboard. I'll post some pictures on Facebook or here, I don't know, from Saguenay. And just, what a trip. And you heard. So because of that, because of me walking across the street to investigate this bus, I get to hear Paul McCartney's concert. You see, the rewards are built in, man. The rewards are built in. I'm just snapping pictures left and right of everything, but that was just such a trip. And this is the kind of day I like, okay? The kind of day when you're going to explore. The point of the day, explore. That's what we're teaching the students. What did I do? I explored. That's the lesson I'll go back to the students. I walked down streets I've never walked down before. Now, the girls can't go alone, of course, and they're only beginners, but I don't know, maybe these messages are messages I'm going to share tonight with the teachers. Folks, the levels this trip works on, I'm telling you, it's good, it's good, it's good. I mean, what else brings you to Quebec City every fucking summer? So I gotta hang on to it. I gotta keep doing this and doing whatever it takes, because it'd be a shame to give up what I got right now. All right, I guess I don't want to get corny or anything, so I'll stop there, okay? I'll listen to what I got. I'll go on, mosey on a little further, and summarizing, just do it. Just do it. You know, you feel like something, you think you might want to, try it, man. Just try it. Don't be afraid. Bye-bye. Okay. Excuse me. I'm in what's really a park, but it's also a graveyard. Now, again, regular listeners will We'll know this place. Oh, shit. Fucking spider or something in my eye. Oh, fuck off. Sorry, not you. It's Quebec City's first Protestant cemetery. I've talked about before how sad it is. It's in such disrepair. I did speak to our tour guide, and he tells me he comes here every day for his morning coffee. It's one of his favorite places, and it's revered by the people who live in the area. It's just that it's been ignored by the government. I think that's a political statement. I'm still upset by it, but at the same time, I'm sitting here with no tourists. Well, perhaps there are. There's four people taking pictures. It's off the beaten track. It's laid back. It's relaxed. You don't have tour buses stopping out front. And I don't know, is it a pleasant resting place? Maybe for the people who did die here, that others can be here in peace? I don't know. Won't go too far with that, because I do tend to get sidetracked. I'm having lunch, and my lunch today consists of a piece of smoked salmon. I just went into a little grocery store and figured that's enough. I'm going to have a nice supper at 5. Not too hungry. Don't want to, you know, I've been overeating. So a little piece of smoked salmon. I was going to save it for the teachers, but decided against that. In fact, I had two big chunks, and man, is it ever good. Here, I'm going to have one more. I'm just picking up this slab of oily salmon and chomping away. God, it's good. You can't go wrong with a big piece of oily smoked salmon. I got a couple of things. I've been listening to Sylvain, my friend Sylvain. Bonjour, Sylvain. Ça va? When he was at PAB doing the Beatles in the podcasting. And a great presentation introduced by Bob and Mark. And Bob, of course, another bilingual Canadian. I don't know what I'm going to do about the clip prior to this. I may not include it. I'll decide later what's right, what's wrong. But I do want to, once again, I've done this once before, I stood up and saluted my brothers who were bilingual, but I want to go further than that. I want to, I guess, apologize is one thing, and commend those who are bilingual. The people like Sylvain, Laurent, and others who can function in both languages. And I'm ashamed, so ashamed of the fact that I can't, and honestly believe I'm just too stupid to ever learn. You might say, well, you're just too lazy, dude. And that may be true, too. My Japanese, I could have had much better than it is. I just don't think I'm a very good language. I think there are gaps of some things I'm good at and visually oriented. I don't feel I'm that good with languages, so it'd be a lot of work and a struggle and sort of feeling it's too late, and yet maybe all that's more cop-out. If I was to do something worthwhile. And so I did come up with some kind of an answer, and that was, my son is registered at York in the International Studies Program at Glendon College, and one of the qualifications to graduate from that, you must be bilingual French. And I'm going to do everything possible to encourage him to stick with it as the one thing. It skipped a generation with me, but my father's working language was French. I mean, every day. He was English. He was an Anglo through and through. But he worked every day of his life in French. And, you know, all levels of French. It wasn't a man struggling. It was a guy who could talk to the tugboat captain or the important people in the head office at Marine Industries. In whatever was called for. And my brother, quite good. My sister, quite good. And me, for whatever reason, can't. And it is to my embarrassment that I feel I'm less of a Canadian than I should be for not being bilingual. I know there's a lot of people out west, perhaps, who don't give a shit. I have less of an excuse having grown up in Montreal, but grew up under a time of two solitudes, and that street, 38th Avenue, separated the English from the French pretty well. And we lived separate lives, and French was only a subject you had to study at school, and it was a pain. It was hard. I always got bad marks, you know, the 50s in oral French. Written French, probably worse. Yeah, sometimes I'd hit a 60s, but pretty bad. And here I am in Quebec City. I mean, the reason I'm going on about this is that I could have had a decent conversation with the man in the bus from Saguenay, I guess. And I couldn't. And I listened to the tape. And again, I don't know if I'm going to include it. I'm just too embarrassed. Too embarrassed. How pathetic it was. But I listened to it again. Now, and, you know, finally caught on what he was saying. Did you hear the McCartney concert? And I should have known right away. Now, I'm going to give a little bit in my defense. And this is... It's a cheap defense. It's a very cheap defense. I decided that since this was my free day, I'd have a little Wee Willy Wonker. And I did. Went into the first little grocery store, bought a bottle of beer, found another grocery store, and I came out with 3 or 4 large bottles of beer. And then the fellow and I got into conversation, and he took me to the back where he said, "You got to see the rest of our selection." And it was full, unbelievable, of every variety of beer. So I picked out a couple for the teachers and then realized, well, why don't I get 2 the same for me too, because I want to drink them. So I got a ton of beer weighing down my backpack. And I got to get back to the hotel, unload this weight, and see what else I'm going to do to make this day special. It's mine, it's free. Anyway, my excuse that I was on. So my mind was a little off. I mean, at the first grocery store I went into, I did like the tourist who's in, you know, doesn't understand the Chinese tourist in New York City, and put the money in my hand and just showed it to him. I wasn't able to count money. He had to fishing around, pulling out this and that. So I just played the dumb tourist, like I was in Japan or somewhere, you know. I'm just a dumb tourist. I don't know what I'm doing. And I don't know. I wish I was smarter. I'm not. I'm just who I am, for fuck's sake, you know? And there it is, you know? At least I have the decency to apologize to all of you Canadians who are bilingual. And I guess I'll go with that. I don't know whether it's going to change or what. But here I am. I think the only thing to do is go ahead and continue to enjoy the rest of the day. I owe that much to you. Good salmon. I'm not all bad. I'm just an asshole. All right, bye-bye. Just to catch up, I wanted to make a note. I had said, you should just go ahead and do it, you know, don't hesitate. I was talking about the little things, like talking to the stranger on the bus sitting beside you, or, you know, maybe taking a course in something. I'm not talking about the big deals. I'm not talking about jumping out of an airplane or doing some fantastic challenge to prove you're somebody. It's not at all what I meant. Sometimes those are good, certainly in your youth. I know my going to Nigeria is one of those. But it's just as much, especially as you get older, just the little things. Just the little things. So you don't fall into habits. You don't kind of get stale. You say, hey, yeah. I want to have a nice day. Yeah, I want to, you know, go there because I've never been there. Yeah, I want to have that beer. How with you? Which, by the way, is Collection Québécoise au Maître, du Maître. And it's La Lycée Noire. La Lycée Noire. Looks great. A dark beer with the fleur-de-lis on the front flag. Here goes. Oh, and just as he said, chocolate taste. Oh, oh, oh. Is that ever good? Man. Wow. I got to win. I'm so glad I bought 2 of those. One of them for the teachers tonight. Wow. I'm sitting here in my hotel room at the Chateau Laurier, not to be confused with the Chateau Frontenac in Quebec or the Chateau Laurier in Ottawa. This is a Chateau Laurier in Quebec. And my room faces the armory, which only a few weeks ago burned down. A historic site that I heard was going to cost something like $300 million to rebuild. The outside stone walls were saved. The entire interior and roof and floors were all wood. It's the length of a city block, but it is one room, or was one room, you know, a drill room for the soldiers marching. And, I get heartbroken when things burn, when the history is lost, when something burns down. Worse if it's deliberate, Sad, sad, sad regardless. Old churches that just cannot be replaced. A piece of our history. It feels like a piece of myself. And it's you know, I'm one of those people who likes to hang on, I guess. But, God damn, that's sad. Just looking at the ruins, the chimney. Anyway, that's all. I got things to do. Meeting the girls. 3:10 now. I got time to stroll around, relax. I stepped out of the shower, feeling good. And we'll be talking to you later, slapping together this podcast. Once again, congratulations to Sylvain for that wonderful thing he did about the Beatles and podcasting at PAB, and for the courage it took for Sylvain to just get up there and do a podcast in English, for setting an example, you know, and of an interesting topic, and for one of the themes he talked about, just going out and doing something. I echo that. Talk to you later. Still on Saturday night, I believe. Quebec City. 400th anniversary. Nice time. Lots of tourists, which is good for Quebec. And I've been just wandering the streets. It's after supper. We had a wonderful supper. And wandering the streets, looking at all the street performers. One guy had a giant hula hoop. You know, must have been 8 feet across. And just did an amazing job putting himself into it. And just rolling himself and just in all possible positions and directions, in almost vertical, horizontal, and just all over. It was amazing to see how good these guys are, you know, and you hope they make a decent living at it. I think they do when they get a crowd that big, you know, people do pitch in a couple of bucks. And they do all right, but they earn that money. They work hard for it. And the usual jugglers and comics and mimes and everything else you see on the streets of Quebec City during the summer. And I repeat, if you haven't visited, it's really worth a try sometime. You know, I mean, it's not a budget destination. You might have to make some compromises. And I don't know, I think maybe it suits older people too. People who want to just sit down and have a meal, you know. Young people would probably get more out of Montreal. That's just a wild guess, but I think so. I think as you get older and you're more interested, say, in the history or sitting down for a decent meal. So, yeah, there's my call. Come when you're ready. Don't have a whole lot more to say. I guess the tour is winding down. I'm going to meet the teachers in another hour and a half. We found, some of you might know McColson Brewery out of Montreal. Excellent brewery. They had samples for $1. You get a little glass, little plastic container full. And we went through 3 last night in very short time. And so we decided to come tonight and go through the other 3. And then I bought all that beer this afternoon that we're going to work on. With cheese. I found some cheese curds and goodies. And just a kind of a delightful, friendly talk as I connect with the teachers, my clients. I mean, the students are really my clients, but... You got to keep the teachers happy. And spending a lot of money, a big part of the budget is on booze. My God. Hundreds of dollars if I add it all up. But it's worth it. It's what makes the thing fun and what helps in the grease the wheels and keep the connections fun and free and friendly. And that's all part of doing business. God. Am I starting to sound like a businessman? That's weird. Sitting in the courtyard of, I guess, one of the earlier Anglican churches. The history is fascinating when you see where the walls are, where the French were, where the English were, the different time periods, where the Irish lived down in the poor section with the French, and what some of the streets looked like 50, 60 years ago when they were in ruins. They were just, you know, and the fact that they rebuilt this city to make it a site that people would want to come to. Whoever did that really had vision, and it was tremendous that he managed to do that. Or he, they, you know. the government managed to plan for the future and make this into the tourist mecca that it is. But then you got Toronto that just can't get its act together at all. All right, I think I'm just going to wander a little more. I keep bumping into little groups of students of mine here and there. They're very excited that they can stay up till 9:15, you know, free on their own. It's the one city where you can do that and not worry about them. That's what the guy was saying today. It's got to be one of the safest cities in North America. You couldn't do this in Toronto or Montreal, but here, just let them go. Say, meet us at the hotel at 9:15. We'll be fine. And it works. So that's it. I'm getting a lot of looks as I'm sitting on this bench, so I think it's time to shut her down and explore a little more. Thanks for listening. And some really nice big smiles, too. Holy moly. Bye-bye. And finally, sitting in a very nice spot beside the Chateau Frontenac, up on a hill in a little park, very quiet, almost deserted. Everybody is down on the boardwalk, the promenade, listening to a brass band, but I moved up, not my kind of music, and I've got this gorgeous view of the St. Lawrence River, and that is just oh so important. It's wide here. You can see where it goes out to the Atlantic. It's a wonderful ship, freighter, just coming in now, slowly, just gliding perfectly. The lights are on, the beautiful globe lights on the promenade in front of me, and it's, you can see Levy and the across the way, Levy. It's just, you know, I haven't sat, I think, actually I probably have sat in this park. Sure I have. But I certainly can't remember when the last time was I did. So why did I get out the mic? Why am I talking to you? Why am I not just sitting here by myself, enjoying the view, tranquility, an hour to kill before I go back to the teachers? Why am I a bit restless? Why do I have to share something with you? Isn't that what's starting to bother me? The fact that I've become dependent on you to voice my opinions, my thoughts, my moods. Don't I resent the fact that I need you? Isn't that what's bugging me? Oh, well. Is there any harm? I don't know. I was going to have a little Rudy Toot Toot. And then I thought, well, what's that going to be like, you know, getting back into the lobby with all the students? And is that another dependency? Am I Rudy too often? I used to. Back in the days when you couldn't listen to music unless you were stoned because it just didn't sound as good. And you realized, hey, something's wrong, man. But that was the way. I mean, if you're going to listen to Pink Floyd and anything else, you wanted to get that block of hash out. You wanted to smoke a couple of pipefuls. You wanted a few hits, you know, maybe a little bit of Blonde Lamb on the end of a cigarette. And listen to it and get into it and let your mind leave your body. That's what you wanted. Because you knew they were doing it for you. You knew they were putting out that kind of music for stoned people. It was all one, you know? Like, it wasn't like you were doing it and listening to 1930s blues singers, which you could have been too, but people were creating sounds knowing there's a whole generation of people out there planet-wide getting stoned, wanting to listen to music and have new experiences. So that's what you did. And here I am, so many years later, reflecting. 60 years old, sitting in a park in Quebec City, looking out at the St. Lawrence River, wondering if I'll be doing this next year and the year after and after and after and after, hoping that I can keep doing this till I'm at least 65, another 5 years of running these tours, that would be good. But what else am I going to do? Oh, here we go again. Is that what this is all about? Is that why I got the mic out so that I'd start whining and complaining and worrying and wondering and pondering and telling you I don't know what I'm doing? That ain't good. Okay. Reel it in. What is it that counts? What does this moment mean? And here we go, you see? When you're stoned, you're in the now. You're not worried about the other stuff. You're just soaking in whatever's going on. And you just, you feel it and you groove on it. But of course it is, perhaps, an artificial state of mind. And shouldn't I be able to enjoy this now, without having to reach into my pocket and pull out my pen? Pens, by the way, which hold my joints, which, by the way, come from the very hotel I'm staying in. I've got a pocket full of them. A little wallet full of them. A little bag full of them. The guts of the pens taken out and fat joints stuffed in. Handy for occasions just like this. Now, if I was with a buddy, my buddy and me, if it was my buddy Barnacle Bill, if Barnacle Bill was with me, who I was tempted to phone and came to the same conclusion, why would I turn on my phone and pay a long-distance charge to talk to Barnacle Bill when I should just be sitting here staring out at the St. Lawrence River? Like, why would I have to do that? Why did I have to get out this mic and start talking to you? Is it to help me get into the now? Is it to help me make that vision before my eyes a little stronger, a little more real, a little more permanent, a little more longer lasting? Is that what I'm trying to do? You know, I think it might be working because my eyes are just gazing out straight ahead at this view, and the lights are getting brighter as the sky is getting darker. And it looks, oh, so good. That river. My father's river. Pregnant pause. So maybe I'll leave you there. Maybe this will be the end of another podcast. And once again, I'm going to say the same old damn thing till you're sick of hearing it. Thanks for listening, folks. Because without you, I wouldn't be doing this. I know that now. And if I was doing this with the idea of not having anybody listen, that would be kind of scary. So hang in there. Get in touch with me. Contact me. You know, say hello. DixonJanes@gmail.com. And send me a message. Tell me you're out there. Share with me. Bye-bye. Hello. TV down. I'm lying in bed, on the bed actually, at Stage West Hotel. Very, very nice hotel out by the airport in Toronto. It's the last day of our journey, and I thought I'd just sort of wind things up here, wherever this happens to fall. We had a wonderful time in Quebec City, of course, as we always will and always do, and as I have for the past 15 years. And on to Upper Canada Village and Thousand Island Cruise and Fort Henry and Kingston, and just an all-round good tour, but a lot of history for the girls. And on the coach on the way back to Toronto as we wind down, I interview every single girl one-on-one and bring them up to the front of the coach, and we just have a nice little talk, find out what they learned, what was good, what were the challenges, and just share a little with them. It's very, very, very nice. absolutely sweet and delightful young ladies, and I just can't say enough about this school, and I guess Japan as a whole, for the way it brings up its young citizens. We get to the hotel, and we have a very nice dinner, and then a closing ceremony, and I give an impromptu speech, but I always know what I'm going to say, and it's really about how great it is to work together like this, how wonderfully the girls have behaved. And I thank the guide who arranges this whole coach tour with us from Take a Break Travel. She is just absolutely wonderful. Our driver, a hard-working, real salt-of-the-earth guy who's just unbelievable how well he controls that coach. A brand new coach, by the way. Beautiful bus. And the teachers from Japan, who I really got to know well through staying up late every night with them. Fabulous feeling. And talking about the nature of the program, why we're doing it, what it means to all of us. And by the end, you can see the girls just starting to fight back the tears. And then it just turns on, and wow, suddenly you got 33 girls crying. And as I'm delivering this speech, I'm honestly trying so hard not to cry, because I know I just don't want to let it go in front of everybody. And I'm moved with pure happiness and good feeling about, you know, I'm moved by my own words, because I mean it. This is about friendship and learning and sharing and kindness and all the good things in life. And I really, I'm just on the edge the whole time I'm talking. And then the girls want pictures taken. We're doing group photos and funny photos and a hug from every girl and tearful, tearful goodbyes. We haven't even left yet. We've got to go through this all again tomorrow at the airport to get them through group checkout. But a fine, fine way to spend my time, and glad of it. So, what else are we going to do? Change of topic? Yeah? We're going to put a pause in here? I don't know. I do want to say one more thing. Not about this program, but about, you know, in the background as I'm doing this, I'm traveling with my computer and my new iPod Touch and picking up email and, you know, checking on Facebook and stuff as we're going along. And in a clip earlier, I guess on the preceding show perhaps, I talked about Sylvia and the great Beatles presentation he did, not having any idea that while I was saying that, he had actually emailed me. So, kind of coincidental and in a very neat way, and just talking, him giving me a real pep talk, encouraging me just to be spontaneous, to keep it up. I'm really wanting to go to PodCamp Montreal and perhaps do a presentation, and I got to really work that one through. But it's just neat that while I was talking about him, he was thinking about me, and that was kind of wonderful. But here is the new topic, and I don't want, I'm not trying to pick a fight here, be a shit disturber, which of course is a role I love, but I guess it's addressed to Bob and Mark, the two gentlemen we all love and respect and admire. But somewhere a decision was made to cut the Beatles' sounds out of Sylvain's presentation. Now, when Sylvain gave the presentation and included certain sounds by the Beatles, which were absolutely essential for his presentation, he said Bob and Mark might edit them out, or could, or would, or whatever, made reference to it, because he was aware he didn't have the rights for those things, but he needed them. Now, I was in Quebec City, having had a rooty-toot-toot, walking on my merry way, and listening on my new iPod Touch to Sylvain's presentation. And, of course, the first time a bit of Beatle music is played, we get this little beep. It's not there. And the second, the third, and the fourth, and so on, we just are not going to hear the Beatles. Now I'm thinking, hey folks, this is really interfering with my listening pleasure. I loved hearing the presentation. I would have loved it that much more had I been able to hear the original, the songs, the sounds that were included. So I'm pissed, folks, because some fucking lawyer, because of legal fucking reasons, it's been taken out. Who's more important? The listener listening and enjoying this show, or some fucking lawyer working for a big corporation, music company? Who the fuck ever? That was the whole point of my presentation. Like, how did the fucking lawyers get this control over us? Why was it necessary to take it? Who gives a fuck? How many fucking people listen to the goddamn Canadian podcast buffet? How is this a problem? Why? Now, of course, I could be completely wrong. I'm sure Bob, Mark, whoever made the decision, have every legitimate reason for making that decision, and it was theirs to make. I'm just saying, as far as I'm concerned, it sucked. It ruined, well, it didn't ruin, but it spoiled the podcast for me. And it spoiled it even more because I knew it was being done for the sake of fucking legalities. Whose legalities? What about morality? What about what's right? What's right? Well, Sylvain had the balls to get up and give a fantastic presentation in English that he really put some thought into, did a fantastic job. It's being fucking ruined for legal reasons. Legal reasons should not be fucking ruling our lives. Forgive me, I know I'm wrong. I must be wrong. There must be reasons. But I don't see them. I don't get them. I think they're wrong. I think we should have been able to hear what it was that he played. I don't think the Beatles cared. I don't think anybody should care. The only weasels would be the ones who, for whatever reason, think they have the right to hold power over us. And they should not, and we should not be giving in. This is not a communist country. This is the free world. Let's remember that. Sorry. I know this is offensive to a lot of people. So I'll go right back now to watching Mad Men and calm down a bit. Sorry. I'm not taking it on you guys personally. I'm just raising an issue that I feel pretty fucking strong about. That's all. Take four, end of the study tour. I'm back in my hotel room, sitting comfortably on the sofa. I got one of these deluxe suites, you know, the separate bedroom, sofa, fridge, desk, the works. Quite nice. Had a little party up here last night with the teachers, the guide, the driver. The driver is a salt-of-the-earth kind of man, who, man of few words, hard-working, never takes a break, can maneuver this coach like you wouldn't believe. It's just an incredible skill. And a guide who's just simply a really, really good, loving friend, like brother and sister. Anyway, at the airport, of course, got them through the group check-in. I've got that down to an art. I know how to do it. You line them up in pairs, standing to the side of your suitcase, passport open. Air Canada loves it because they just send an agent down the middle, sticking on those tags, and off we go. But prior to that, had a moment. Now, I have a crackpot theory that every time we get to feeling too good about ourselves or things are going too well, we might be a little bit too satisfied with ourselves for a job well done, God punishes us, teaches us a lesson, tweaks our nose, and somehow we have to be put in our place. And I'm sure there's a few of you out there who can relate and who understand what I mean. It's just weird. I had the coach had taken us right up to the airport, dropped us off. I said, okay, I'm running ahead to group check-in on the ground floor. I'll find out how crowded it is, where they want us, and then I'll come right back and get you. And meanwhile, they unload the suitcases, and the girls are getting them, and they're supposed to meet me inside the airport in line. I go to group check-in. I come back upstairs to where I thought I had left them, and there's no bus. No girls. That's odd. Well, I took the escalators. I must have come up at the wrong spot. I take the escalator back down to retrace my steps, take the elevator, get off at the very same spot. No girls, no bus. Uh-oh. Something's wrong. Well, maybe I took a different No, same elevator. Well, gee, that's odd. Maybe they're a little further down. Run back down. No coach, no girls. Stuck outside. No sign of them here, but this was where I thought we left them. Back down to group. Okay, retrace your steps. Back in that elevator. Push another floor. No, maybe it's not one. Maybe it was two. Check two. Come up. No, doesn't look right at all. Wasn't here. But check anyway. No sign. Back down. Okay, by now, I'm a fox with his foot caught in a leg hold trap. I am whimpering. I am going in circles. I'm starting to sweat. I'm starting to panic. I'm phoning the guide. She's not answering the phone. I just want to say, so that the group doesn't hear me, where the hell are you? Can't find you. She's not answering. I'm starting to lose it. Like, this is not right. Like, dude. And you know how when you get that panic thing, you can't think straight? So you keep repeating the same thing again and again and again? It's like you lose your wallet and you keep looking in the same pocket and it's not there. And you just lose all rationality. And you gotta take a deep breath. Folks, I lost them for a good 5 minutes, probably more. It seemed an eternity. I really, really was getting concerned. Like, hey man, is this the beginning of what's to come? And tried one more. Okay, perhaps they're one more level up. They shouldn't be. That's not where I left them, but better check. And sure enough, the bus is just pulling away as I get off the elevator. And the girls are patiently waiting. They knew no difference at all. I never even let on that anything was wrong. Only a few girls looked at me and noticed the beads of sweat. And that I was looking a little flustered. The face was red. But it just went smoothly after that. So, lesson learned. I'm not so great after all. You get to feel that when you have your going away ceremony and everybody's crying and loving what you've done and happy. And so, did the same today. Gave one more little encouraging words of farewell, encouraging them all to come back. And then did the Japanese goodbye. And that means you cannot leave your spot until you can no longer see any visible sign of the person in your group. So as they go through security, 35 girls, it takes a while. I stand there. I wave. I smile. I get group waves, individual waves, smiles. I wave at every one of them. And I want to be doing that. That's the Japanese way. That's just courtesy. You're not just going to walk off, turn your back like that's it. You wait. And they're beginning through, and then suddenly there's a whole group, and then they're all doing jumping jacks and waving, and I got to wave back. I got both arms waving and making a heart over my head and answering their waves with my waves. It's just truly, truly wonderful. I'm such a sweet group. Very, very, very nice young ladies, and God, what a pleasure. And what a good feeling as you look into each individual face and smile. It's just absolutely wonderful. And here we are. I'm doing what I'm meant to do. And now it's over until next year. And I better find something else to do in the intervening months. So I guess that's it, folks. Damn. I'll slap this all together. I got to get a taxi. The shuttle bus driver said, let me call my brother or my cousin, and that's how I'm going to get home for a flat $60. All right. Talk to you later on. Bye for now.